everybody. Welcome to episode 342 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode. We're continuing our look at Secret Wars with Secret Wars 3. It's an unofficial crossover. It takes place over a few issues of the Fantastic Four. And the particular issue we're going to be looking at today is Fantastic Four 318, written by legendary scribe Steve Englehart. We have breakdowns by Keith Pollard. Inks are by Joe Sinnott. John E. Workman Jr. handles the letters, and George Roussos is on colors. So for those not familiar with the Chronology Project, I basically wanted to kind of get caught up and dive back in with Marvel, and I wasn't sure where to start. And I thought, well, you know what? Let me read this Jonathan Hickman Secret Wars series. But before I do that, let me read what I need to read so that I understand what's leading into this Secret Wars series. So the more research I did on Hickman's time at Marvel, the more I came to realize that everything that he did at Marvel from the very beginning was all with this event in mind. It was eventually to tell this particular story. So I then went looking for a Jonathan Hickman reading order to figure out what I needed to read in order to understand Hickman's point of view on the Marvel Universe. And I stumbled across a site called the Comic Book Herald. He does a lot of different reading orders for Marvel, DC, and even some independent stuff. And I found this reading order that covered Hickman's Secret Wars and some of the stuff leading up to it. And it went back to a bunch of Beyonder appearances, all the way back to Secret Wars 2, even to the original Marvel superhero Secret Wars and the books that led into that. And so we decided, hey, let's take a deep dive. Let's go all the way back to the early to mid 80s and talk about Marvel superhero Secret Wars, which was a lot of fun. Numbers were pretty good. A lot of people enjoyed that trip down memory lane. Secret Wars 2, less so. That series was awesome in a different way, kind of a so bad it's good kind of deal. And I really think the failure on that one is the first Secret Wars is really a story of the heroes, these classic Marvel heroes that everybody knows and loves. Now, Secret Wars 2 is really a Beyonder story, and he's not really a likable character, at least not at the point when he's in that book. So it makes it kind of tough, and it makes it kind of a slog. Secret Wars 2 is noteworthy for another reason, though. It's really the first big event that had crossovers into monthly issues. So again, we covered all that on the show, and it was okay. I'm glad I read it again, and it'd been a long time since I had it. I hadn't read it since it came off the stands, so I'm glad I did it, but I'm also glad it's over. So we're keeping up with that chronology. I'll put a link in the show notes to the Comic Book Herald website. Props to him for creating the reading order. But instead of actually moving forward on that reading order, because I think the next event after this unofficial Secret Wars 3 is the Annihilation event. And I've never read it. It deals with a lot of the cosmic heroes in the Marvel Universe. I've heard only good things, but Thanos plays a pretty big role in it. And I'm a big Thanos fan. Obviously, there are a lot of big Thanos fans out there these days with him appearing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I've been a fan of him for a really long time. Ever since I read the Death of Captain Marvel graphic novel by Jim Starlin. And so I thought, you know what, let's take a break from covering Secret Wars and transition over and talk about Thanos for a little while. So once we're done with this Secret Wars 3 event, or unofficial event, I guess you'd say, we're going to go ahead and transition over and talk about Thanos for a while. So again, we will be using a reading order for that. I'll link to it and let you all know when we make that transition, which reading order I'm using. It won't be a publishing order. So for example, we won't start off with Iron Man 55, which is the first appearance of Thanos. We'll start with probably the Thanos Rising series, which tells of Thanos's early childhood. I don't plan on covering any of the Cosmic Ghost Rider stuff, because I just don't think it's very good. Neither the story, the concept, the art, it's all subpar in my opinion, pretty below average. So, and I don't think it's going to end up being really in canon, so to speak. It's It's just a really stupid idea, I have to be honest. The Punisher as Ghost Rider, you know, not a huge fan of that idea, but maybe you could make that work. But then he travels back in time, kidnaps Thanos, and they go on a road trip together. Yeah, I'm not feeling it, Donny Cates. Sorry. So we won't be covering that. I'm not even sure where you'd put that in the chronology, but we will be covering the Thanos Rising series, as I said, which I think is a really good series. I don't know that I ever finished it, actually, now that I think about it. I know I read the first couple of issues, but we'll definitely be covering that really soon. So let's go ahead and dive into issue 318 of Fantastic Four, which is this unofficial Secret Wars 3 series, and it's called Beyond the Pale. You know, beyond being, of course, the operative word there. And we see a man that we sort of recognize walking down the street, thinking that New York's even uglier than he remembered, but his sweetums wanted to see the big city. He used to live there, and it doesn't matter to me where he lives. And he's wondering how dangerous it is. And before he can do anything, Dr. Doom pops out of an alley and says, die, die for the triumph of Doom. And Doom thinks to himself that he needs to be unrelenting. He can't give this person the slightest chance to react. It's his chance to win the war with the child who thinks he's me. And that's a reference to Christoph, who's a teen version of Dr. Doom, who exists at this time in the late 80s. Of Marvel, and I'm not sure on the details of that. I wasn't reading Fantastic Four at the time, but Doom has been deposed by Christoph at this point. So Doom's thinking that if Quicksilver's information about the Fantastic Four is correct, then this man must die. And he says it's done, and he walks away saying farewell, Owen Reese. So we do know at that moment that it is indeed the Molecule Man. So Doom strives to a hotel. We see him push a button that says Miss A Storm. So remember, at this time, Alicia is married to Johnny, although they're separated. And Johnny recently has been seeing Crystal, the Inhuman. But we find out when he's talking to Ben Grimm and Sharon Ventura, two other members of the Fantastic Four, because at this time, Reed and Sue are on sabbatical, that Crystal has just left. She's just left and gone back to her husband, Quicksilver, back to the Inhumans. And Johnny's pretty upset about that. And we also noticed that the Thing has a much more rocky appearance at this time. They had given him a further mutation that supposedly made him even uglier. I think it doesn't necessarily make him uglier, but he doesn't look as sleek as he normally does. He's not necessarily recognized as the Thing. I don't think it's a particularly good design. And Sharon Ventura, who was the second Miss Marvel, she's also undergone a transformation to a kind of a Thing-like beast. And she looks like the original Thing, like we saw in the very first Fantastic Four, where he hadn't gotten that rocky appearance that eventually became his classic appearance from Kirby, but more of almost like the doughboy, orange doughboy looking. And that's what Sharon has. And, you know, Sharon was a very beautiful looking woman before this transformation. And she did have a hard time transitioning, and Ben really helped her through it, because they kind of commiserated together, right? Like Ben had finally started to come to terms with the fact that he was this orange Thing, but at least he kind of got used to, he looked okay. Now he's mutated further and thinks he's hideous. Sharon's gone from a beautiful woman to this orange doe-like creature. So they've found solace in each other. So as they're arguing about Crystal returning to her husband, and Johnny's trying to decide what he should do, they get interrupted by Robbie the robot telling them that Dr. Doom has showed up there with Alicia. So the Human Torch immediately flies off, although the Sharon Ventura Thing says, wait for us. But, you know, Johnny was already fired up, and he's always been pretty impetuous. So he immediately attacks Doom, even though Alicia is saying, Johnny, no. There's a pitched battle. Doom eventually overcomes Johnny by firing off some rockets from his gauntlets, little mini missiles that have a chemical flame retardant in it. And Doom explains that he's there because he learned from Quicksilver that they were heading to the negative zone. And the reason they're heading there is to find a race of beyonders. And Doom says, without me, you will not survive. So unless you allow me and my superior intellect to go with you, you're not going to survive. And the thing starts laughing about that. And again, Doom's like, you know, you always had Reed going with you before. He helped you solve problems on the fly. Reed's not here. Unless you take me, you're all going to die. And again, the thing busts out laughing, and Alicia's trying to convince him that they're telling the truth. And things like, no. Did he tell you about the part where he is looking to fight to the death with his own creation, the kid that he created to and gave a copy of his mind to? And not to mention the fact that he stole the Beyonder's powers before and almost destroyed the universe. So, yeah. Things like, it's not going to happen. I don't care what you think. You're not coming to the Phantom Zone with us. No matter what the risk, we're not giving you a chance to conquer the world. And before anything else can happen, Doom throws a literal time bomb. It kind of phases out the three characters. And they try to fire at Doom, but they're unsuccessful. And Doom says, that's because I've thrown my time shift bomb and you're 2 seconds behind me in the past. And they follow Doom, although again, they are behind, and he reaches Reed Richards' radical cube and uses it to head into the negative zone. The heroes manage to close the negative zone before any of them are sucked in. And Thing's pretty upset with himself for being tricked by Doom. And it's decided that they'll go after them. And Alicia Storm and Johnny Storm have a bit of a reconciliation, with Johnny reassuring her that they'll be fine, but thinking to himself if it's possible to love two women at the same time. So Sharon Ventura, Thing, and Johnny Storm head into the negative zone. Meanwhile, at a hospital across town, Owen Reese is in a hospital bed. His girlfriend Marcia is there, Marcia Rosenberg, and she's trying to convince the doctor that he'll be fine because he's the Molecule Man. And the doctor's kind of like, "Sure, whatever you say," but he really isn't waking up, and Marcia is left thinking. The question is, what can happen to the universe while Molecule Man is unconscious? Because we did see him save the multiverse at the end of Secret Wars 2, number 9, and he's kind of apparently taken upon himself to kind of make sure everything keeps running on time. You know, he ultimately helped to destroy the Beyonder because he felt the Beyonder was a threat to our universe. But Molecule Man has definitely become a little more benevolent, obviously very, very powerful, and been working behind the scenes just to ensure that the human race survives. So clearly with Doom taking him out, Doom must have known that he would interfere with whatever Doom was planning in the negative zone. So a little bit of foreshadowing here. So meanwhile, the Fantastic Four... the Fantastic Three, Johnny, Ben, and Susan are in the negative zone, and they're headed toward a replica planet Earth. They figure that might be the best place to go to find Doom. But before they can get there, they're attacked by Blastar, who's a classic Fantastic Four villain from the negative zone. And there's a pretty brutal fight between the Human Torch and Blastar, and Blastar is actually getting the upper hand until Doom interferes and actually saves the Fantastic Four, and then rescues them, takes them back onto their ship, and it's agreed, at least for now, that they will work together, but the Fantastic Four is very reluctant, right? But they don't really have a choice because Doom says, I'm the only one of us who knows where to find the Beyonder. And Johnny doesn't really want to trust him, but the thing's like, yeah, but we're stuck with him because he's the only one that knows where we should be headed. So Doom says, we're all in this together, but thinks to himself, but what we all must ask ourselves is for how long? So yeah, I mean, it's Dr. Doom. And I think you keep an eye on him every second of every day. I tend to agree with Johnny. There's not really any price to pay that's worth having Doom you know, in your household, running your household, whatever. So as far as this being Secret Wars 3, I mean, I guess you need it to kind of understand what's going on. We do see Molecule Man. We do hear reference to the Beyonders a lot. But obviously, we haven't seen the Beyonder that we know because apparently there are a lot of them. But we haven't seen the one that we know, the one that was on Earth for the duration of Superhero Secret Wars number 2. So looking toward that in the next issue. And again, I don't think this is a huge must get for Beyonder fans who want to own all his appearances, but it does explain a lot about who the Beyonder is and or who he was, I should say. Kind of gives you an idea of what to expect, because I think with issue 319, the story is really going to kick into to high gear. So I think that's going to do it for this chronology episode. As always, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the website, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are great spots to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Next show I'll be at is Comic-Con LA, October, I believe it's the 27th. It's the last Saturday of October, right before Halloween. I think I'm only going to be there one day, so if you're going to be there on Saturday, definitely let me know. As I've said many times before, I always love to meet listeners and give you, you know, free lanyards and take pictures and all that kind of good stuff. So definitely let me know if you're going to be there. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.